Hi, guys, and welcome to Keep Hope Alive podcast. Boy, do we have a great show for you today. I got Mr. Mark Fisher here with us today, and we're going to be going through his life journey. Get to know your client. Ooh, that is so important, isn't it?
Extremely important. That's rule number one of the business I'm in.
Yes, definitely. Get to know everybody. It is very important. So in all business-wise, know who you're working with and get to know them and how to help them with what you're selling to, or, you know, whatever it may be. But before we get started, Mark, I have one question for you.
Okay.
Or maybe two questions. You game?
I'm game.
Okay, good. So out of the past 15 years, how many weddings have you been to?
It's 2024. So I have been to two. One would be 16 years ago. So I'm going to count that one because it was borderline. You said, so it's been two.
Okay, I got you. I can add it to 20 years ago too. But so usually if you're a guest and you're attending a wedding, and let's say we're walking into the church for this wedding, usually the guests have to sign something. What is it that they're signing?
At both the weddings I went to, there really wasn't a remembrance book or congratulations book. It kind of was done in a different way. One was done, it was a female wedding, two women getting married. It was a white wedding. You had to dress in white. It was all about that. And it was just a big celebration, a lot of toasts, but not a lot of notebooks really to sign in. The second one was my cousin. So there was a, you know, congratulatory book and, you know, best wishes and all that kind of book.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, the reason I'm asking you, one of our biggest sponsors here is called lifeonrecord.com. And instead of having that guest book, what they do is put out a vintage rotary phone. So the guests can come in, they can pick up the phone, say congratulations, or maybe you got the groomsmen on there going, hey, dude, it's about time to put a ring on our finger, you know. So it's a collection of voices to hear from your friends and family on your big day. Right next to the phone, they have a QR code that your guests can pull out their mobile device and scan that too. So if they wanted to leave a message either before or after the wedding, they can do that as well. Now, I know I'm mentioning weddings, but this can be used for any kind of event. I know I used it last for my son's football team. There was a accident during the game where the kid broke his leg and growth plate. So we had the boys call in to say, I hope you feel better. And we were able to give that to them. So the
great.
Other
That's really
thing,
great. It's really great.
It is. It is. And I mean, hearing voices back in the day, you know, it's such a powerful gift. And I know I've brought this up before as I talk about other events, but even funerals, my friend just passed and I still have her voicemail, her last voicemail to me. I never want to erase it. If anything happened to it, it'd be really sad. But I think, you know, even just hearing it and sitting back, let's say it's a 1-year anniversary and you're listening to it again, it's going to put a smile on your face and remember those memories and everything. So once they collect all these messages, they'll either burn it on a 12-inch vinyl record, or they have a keepsake speaker you can have, which is amazing. They get to keep the phone number. You got to return the phone, but the phone number for 1 year, it serves the whole entire world. So you can get a call from anywhere. Their plans start at $99, and that's a really good deal. I know my daughter is pregnant and I'm planning her baby shower right now. So I plan to use this. Well, thank you. Yeah, I think I don't want to be called grandma. I want to be called Gigi. And she's having a little
anything.
Girl.
Keep my mouth shut there. You noticed.
Yeah, I was like, young still. I don't want to be grandma.
You are young.
Oh, well, thank you. So, but yeah, to find out more information about Life on Record, please visit them at www.lifeonrecord.com. All right. So my first question for you is, who is Mark?
Who is Mark? Mark is an only child. Mark is the product of a very determined, driven, and successful single mom. My parents divorced when I was about two, so I have no real memory of a typical marriage of a mother and father. My mother has overcome so much in her life. When real quick, and I don't want to be very depressing, but I want to talk about her drive to continue and her just what she taught me: never quit, never give up. And she started with an incredible situation where she was sadly a victim of a violent crime. When I was 9 years old, I was spending my weekend with my dad, you know, divorced parents. And she went out like any 30-year-old woman would and had friends and went out, had a good time, came home late. And there was an attempted robbery at the front door and she was stabbed. And she was not supposed to live. She had multiple situations where she coded, and she survived with 47 staples holding her internal organs together. And it looked like a zipper. She didn't have stomach muscles, so she had a lot of trouble with illnesses, but she stayed for me. She survived for me. And she said when she went through the near-death experiences, I could talk about this because it is a positive story. She refused to open her eyes, even though she felt the presence of her parents and a calm feeling. But she said she felt like if she opened her eyes, she wouldn't come back to me. And I've never forgotten that. I was nine. I'm 51 now. She survived. And 2 years later, she took me on this incredible journey over to Germany. She was a teacher. She spent time in Germany as a military brat in 1960, 1962. This painting is from 1960. It was bought by my grandmother in Garmisch, Germany, which is in base of the Alps, south of Munich. And she just, me and her on a plane, there was no grandparents, there was no friends. And I was a typical 11-year-old boy, if you can imagine, not easy to deal with, but she kept me in my place and she just said, we're doing this. And, you know, we did it. And again, when we got to Germany, she showed me even more strain. Sadly, she was in a car accident where I didn't know where she was for 2 days. And I'm all alone in a foreign country. And that's when I get to experience military life, being around the military and how it's like being around a family. Everybody came out of the woodwork to help me. Everybody came out to make sure I had a place to sleep. I wasn't alone. I was only 11. Even my German friends across the street came over and offered me a place to stay. And I eventually connected with her and she recovered, had a broken foot. And we just kept powering on. This lady never quit. She went to work with a cast on and a walking stick in the snow and just kept going forward. She never let anything keep her down or hold her back. And that's how she lived. And that's what I look back on now with very fondness because of her strength and admiration. And I want other people to know that because you may have something that is maybe terminal, could end your life, her staples could have ripped or torn at any moment. Fortunately, they did not. But she did not let it stop her. She traveled five continents, short just two. She made sure when she met my stepfather, when I was 13, around 1986, they went everywhere. And, when I got into my business, I promised her she would always have alligator bags to travel with. She said, I just don't want to be a bag lady. I said, don't worry, you'll be fine. And I kept my promise. She was able to do anything and everything she wanted. And she pushed on through. And sadly, 4 years ago, she was diagnosed with ALS. Lou Gehrig's disease. And even then, I'm going to beat this. Right up until a few days before she finally lost the fight with it. 4 years she fought it. And that is an extraordinary amount of time to fight without medication or any assistance. But my stepfather took care of her. I spent a great deal of time helping him in South Carolina where they retired. And it was just a binding experience and also gave me a chance to reflect on our life together and more appreciation than ever for what she did for me, the sacrifices, the lessons, things I wish, I almost regret I didn't show her when she was alive, but I think I did thinking back on some of the situations. I broke her curfew rule in Germany one night. And when I got home, I said, Mom, I'm sorry, I broke the rule. I won't ask to go out for the rest of the month. I'll be in my room. And she just stood there with her mouth open, like, okay, then. But it was
I
all
like
about
that.
respect. Yeah, it was just all about
I like
respect. Yeah. And it taught me to be a very open and friendly person as well, because when you get thrown into, I mean, we moved multiple times, went to two different high schools, six different schools, and people were leaving and coming and going with orders. So you really didn't have time to have the typical American small town grow up life where everybody grows up together, their parents stay in that town, maybe they move for college or for work. But my friends are spread out all over the world. Last night, I was talking to a friend in Washington State. I have friends that are in Germany working for the military. I have friends in Korea that are in the military. It's really amazing, just the amount of people that I've met along the way. And it's really helped me with my business, being a financial advisor. You have to be able to relate to people and find ways to get people to open up so that you fully understand what they're asking of you. One of the misconceptions about financial advisors, and it's sadly true in some cases, is that we're salesmen. I don't look at that as part of the job. My job is to talk to you and say, Nadine, what are your goals? You have children, you have grandchildren, maybe on the way. You have things to think about, but maybe you have goals of your own that you want to achieve. My job is to sit down with you and figure out the best way to get you to those goals. And that could involve a wide variety of items. I always like to give people three different buckets, I call them, of money or of investments that they use for immediate, middle of the road, and the end of the road, retirement. And that's where the know your client part comes in. And it is rule number one in the financial business. And I spend a lot of time. I go to my clients. I don't make them come to me. I don't spend money on a fancy office. That way I don't have to charge as much. Don't worry, I do charge. I don't think my time is not worth it, but I charge what I believe to be about middle of the road rather than high end. And I feel really comfortable doing that. And I also offer myself up to talk about just financial literacy. I don't, focus on a product. I don't tell people this is good for you. I just explain what a stock is, what a mutual fund is, what a bond is. All of these terms people hear every day, but they honestly don't know what they mean or what they are and how they come into play as far as their 401k. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind, which is good in the beginning, but it's also better to have a little bit of financial literacy. So that's something that I'm making a big focus on this year. That's one of my big pushes this year, is to get out and do more education for companies and their employees. And so far, so good. I've got a lot of people that are warm to the subject and think it's a good idea.
I think it's a good idea. Also, I mean, for the more knowledge, they do that with healthcare now. They explain the way, but, taking in, whether it's stocks or investment, planning 401k, it's good to know what you can do and how much you can save and where you can contribute that, those are things I'm absent-minded. You might as well teach me along the way on this podcast. So,
but again, my best advice for a stock is, if it's good enough for you, if you buy it with your own hard-earned money, it's good enough for your investments. If it's on your breakfast table, I have a story about a lady from the 1950s, was a client of my grandfather's. She inherited $50,000 in the late 50s, and Kellogg's was all over her breakfast table. Well, she invested the $50,000, and when she passed in late 80s, she had $800,000 that she left to the SPCA for cats. She was a cat lady. But it's a story about, that is the most perfect way to pick an investment. It's good enough. It was good enough for her breakfast table. It was good enough for her hard-earned money and hard-earned saved money that, okay, I'm going to buy that company stock. And she didn't go wrong with it. It's like people who buy Standard Oil, became Exxon, became Chevron, or people who bought Apple or Microsoft or Amazon. If you're using it on the daily, if it's all something in clothing, if it's on your body, if you're wearing Nikes, although that may be not a good example in today's world because there's so much out there now, but Apple, I remember when the first iPhone was coming out, everybody was kind of freaking out. The stock was not doing well. And I just was like, I got to believe this is going to do something. And it turned out it became gigantic, one of the biggest companies in the world now. So it's just something that you have to have belief in it, and you have to have patience. And you can't have a queasy stomach. That's something that I get to know very quickly about people. I met with a client yesterday who's very nervous. So his investments are very, very conservative, very little room for risk. I explain every day, you're not going to make as much as everybody else, but it's all about making sure he goes to sleep at night. And also, I don't get a call him freaking out that something went down a penny, which something my grandfather used to freak out about. And I used to joke with him about. And I joke with the clients about it too, because I tell them the same story. But it's about relating to people and finding out how people, I can find out, all right, what do they have passion for? And are their children their passion? Are just traveling their passion? All the above. And yeah, I have my opinions on real estate and, you know, the Bitcoin stuff, but that's separate. I'm not a real estate agent. Bitcoin, I'm not allowed to sell. It's not regulated properly. So it's just not something I talk about. I shy away from it just because of my licenses and everything. I always tell people, just go to Atlantic City, go to Las Vegas. You being a Jersey girl, you know Atlantic City well, I'm sure.
When I was younger, it was fun. Like, yeah, you know, I'm 46 now. I went back to visit when I was 16, and it's all casinos. So I still wasn't able to go into a casino. So, but, you know, I remember at the young age of Boardwalk, there was people, there was gift shops, there was miniature golf, there was people on the beach. It felt like a ghost town when I was there. At 16.
It's even worse today. It's sad. I mean, the whole city just fell apart. COVID really obviously did its number, but the lack of attention to Atlantic City is so sad. The history of Atlantic City is gone. And it's just not what it was. I mean, Boardwalk Empire, albeit it was a mobster show, but it showed Atlantic City in the old days. And that's the way it was. That's the way the Jersey Shore was. You know, Ocean City is kind of becoming that. Wildwood is becoming that. But yeah, it's kind of depressing. Atlantic City is very depressing.
Yes, it was. So when I win the lotto, I'm going to invest over there and build it up the way it should be. So
I wouldn't do that. Not after what I've been reading in the paper.
Okay,
it's flooding.
I'll have to call you.
There's not much of a beach left. The boardwalk's starting to fall down. It's in bad shape. The storms have taken a toll. The nor'easters in the last 2-3 years have been unusually awful. Wildwood, remember how I don't know if you remember, but it used to be like a mile to get to the water once you started walking on the sand. It's not that way anymore.
Oh, no.
The sand washed away, and it's much closer. They actually had a picture of it on the news the other night to kind of show 1990 compared to last year. And it was like, oh, man, okay, that's different.
Wow. Yeah.
Lots of concern about the Jersey Shore. Asbury Park, though, has become like a southern New York City type, but still Jersey Shore type town. It's got great restaurants, distilleries. They're revamping the bars. Stone Pony, where Bruce Springsteen, Bon Jovi, everybody was kind of came through, is all getting new attention, more concerts. I mean, there's literally a t-shirt says Music Saved Asbury Park. And if you go there now, there's million-dollar apartments. There's beautiful distilleries that you would expect to see in downtown Dallas or downtown New York or Philly. And it's just a gorgeous town, and it's an hour away, but I've been really enjoying it these last 2 years, and I look forward to going there again. I was just there for the Stone Pony's 50th anniversary.
Good.
It was just amazing. Not to be so depressing about Atlantic City, just saying that there are other parts of the Jersey Shore that were also once kind of in trouble that have rebounded fantastically. And I really think that town, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to going there more often. That's all I can say about
it. I'll have to remember that. So I have family in Marlton. So
that's where I live right now. Stay with
Oh, Marlton. Perfect.
Yeah, that's where we're talking from.
Right, that's awesome. So, yeah. That is, I remember just driving there. I was younger. My mom's like, you want to take a picture of the old house? And I remember I was like, yeah. And I got my camera out and I was taking a picture, and this car stopped coming down. What are you doing? That's my family's house. Why are you taking pictures? I was like, I'm from Texas, but I grew up here at this house. Oh, okay, you're good. But I was, yeah. I forgot that was a Jersey thing. Everybody kind of lives by each other when they're family. So
yeah, and they look out for each other.
They do. They do. Yeah. And then I was like noticing all the roundabouts and I was like, oh, I hate roundabouts. But now Texas is getting roundabouts. And I'm like, here we go. Here comes the circle, you know.
So. Well, the 70-73 circle is gone. It's now an overpass. There's only the circles at 72 and at 206 on Route 70 on the way to the beach. Okay. So we are getting rid of the circles.
Wow, that's a good thing. So, I mean, my last show with the we were talking about Wawa's, Hoagie's, Tasty Cakes was another thing because when we would come up to New Jersey, it was like we would go into Wawa and just buy them out. Now Texas is getting Tasty Cakes, but they're not stocking the good Tasty Cakes. You hear me, Tasty Cake people? I'm going to be interviewing you. We got some like strawberry donut thing. I'm like, I just want the chocolate cupcakes. I want to be able to put them in my fridge, get them cool. And then the crumpets and the peanut butter. Oh my gosh. I keep looking, but nothing. I'm like,
I'd be happy to send you a care package. Send me your email or send me your address. And I'm happy to send you a care package. Cause I love every now and then I'll be sitting there at Wawa and I'll get to the Tasty Cake aisle. And I'm like, do I really need this? I'm going to the gym later. I can do this. Give me the free pack.
See there, you're going to be working it off. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so going to work it off later. Maybe. But just give me the 3-pack. I'm going for it. I'm going all in. So I know funny. Exactly what you're talking about. We grew up with Mr. Softee. We grew up with all that as little kids chasing that sound. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's great memories.
Yeah, great memories. So yeah, and people were very friendly in Jersey when I got to Texas. It was like I said hi to my neighbor and it was like nothing. They just ignored me. Where in Jersey it'd be like, hi, oh, I baked fresh cookies, come over and get some. I'm like, cool, you know. But I was like, how do I get Texas people to talk? You know, so yeah.
I felt I kind of intimidated a lot of people here in New Jersey when I came back from being a military brat, because I'm just open. I'll talk to strangers on the street, be it a ball game, doesn't matter what sport. And if there's an opportunity to talk about something, I'll talk. And exactly. People kind of look like, what, huh? And it's like, oh, I'm sorry. I was just trying to be friendly. And sometimes it works. Most of the time it works, but sometimes people are just like, no, I'm good. It's like, okay. Ignore them.
Exactly. Yeah. And just move on. And that was one thing I know. I do karaoke and I've become a better listener over the past 2 years. So I used to be, I saw my faults as being the one who talk. And now I'm just like the good listener, but I'll pick up on other people, you know. I have these mommy ears, I guess, because I have two kids, but the stories you would hear at a bar, they were so funny to me. I was like, okay, you know, is this like Cheers all of a sudden? They're talking about cookouts on the lake and stuff or something. They're making up stories and just putting new words together like puns and just having a good old time. But
thing about it. That's the best thing about it. That's what I like. I mean, I could have a conversation with you all night at a bar. I don't need to get your phone number. I don't need to be your best friend. It's like, shake hands. Hope I see you again. And if it really went that well, then, hey, you know, find me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever. And let's try to get together again next time you're going to be here. It just depends. Yeah. I just go with the flow. But I've definitely learned to not be so concerned about those who aren't interested in having a conversation. And focus more on those that are open to it.
Exactly. So I just know my bar that I would go to, they hated putting on the Eagles because we're in cowboy country. But I was like, hey, dude, I'm here for all the karaoke nights. You have 22 TVs in here. I'm just asking for one TV to have the Eagle game on. So, but they made a place out here in Texas at Austin Avenue Bar and they call it the Eagle's Nest, which is nice. So you get all the Eagle fans that go out there and stuff, which is really cool.
You should put something on quickly. Facebook about that.
Yeah. So they need to.
People are doing a big thing about that. So go ahead.
Yeah, they need to. So I got a quick question for you. I got to just kind of break in here really quick. Have you ever seen these bracelets before on Facebook?
I've definitely seen the one above it. I think I may have seen the ones below. I may have a while back. Yeah, but I've definitely seen the one with the charms. I've seen that one.
Oh, the Pandora.
Yeah, I've seen that everywhere.
Okay, yeah. Well, these bottom ones are called snap bands. I have one that says hope on it, the other one that says faith. And with snap bands, really quick, I'll jump into the word faith. You can only get that mantra word with their promo code KHA. Keep hope alive. And they will be able to give you a paid one. But really quick, this is what snap bands is. So we live in a world, and it's a stressful place for everyone with work, school, relationships, health issues, finances, the nightly news. There's the anxiety every day. Negative thoughts can keep popping into our head over and over again. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy of anyone loving me. Bad things always happen to me. If you ever have these types of thoughts, you're not alone. More than 40 million Americans are diagnosed with an anxiety disorder. Anxieties, worries, and fears can stop you from finding inner peace and achieving your true potential. You deserve to live your best life. Finally, there's an amazing new bracelet called Snap Bands that was invented to help you reduce anxiety, control OCD, and calm stress. Snap Bands are cognitive behavioral therapy tool based on proven brain neuroscience. And the way Snap Bands works is amazing. So Snap Bands bracelets look like a stylish piece of jewelry here, and it's on your wrist, but its unique design actually hides a secret elastic band, and it sits right on your inner wrist with a pressure point to your brain's nervous system. When you give the elastic a light tug, you feel a gentle, soft vibration of your inner wrist. That gentle physical sensation is all you need to reduce anxiety, and here's why. Did you know that the human brain can only deal with one emergency at a time? Well, whenever you feel an unwanted negative thought in your head, gently snap the elastic on your inner wrist, and it forces your brain to focus on the genticle. That's a new word. Genticle. I told you there's bloopers on this.
After a drink, that might come out of me. You know?
You know why? Because it's gentle physical, and I came up, I guess I pushed those. Gentle physical sensation.
I do that all the time. It's a Friday. Come on. We made it through the week. We're allowed.
We are allowed. See, now I'm going to reword this, which instantly disrupts your unwanted negative thought from your brain. This gives you the freedom to reset your mind with a positive mental focus. The mantra word on your snap bands bracelet helps you to refocus and reset. There are 7, but I mentioned 8 different mantra words that you can choose from. Believe, blessing, dream, fearless, hope, love, and peace. And then, of course, faith with that promo code if you would like it. So you'll just choose the mantra word that resonates mostly powerfully with you. And when you snap it, you use your mantra word. Like, I have hope. Every time I'm in the hospital, I have to have faith too. They always miss my vein. So I'm always praying over the person who has to stick me. So I'll just kind of pull the list, praying for them. Hopefully they can find it and they don't. I'm not a lesson all of a sudden. So when you have this mantra word, you'll just say, hey, I believe in myself, or I am a blessing, or I am fearless, or I will always have hope. So this will help a lot of people that do go through mental health. I also throw, it does help with PTSD. I'm sure I have medical PTSD. I went through something very traumatizing. So, and the best part of snap bands, they come in all different beautiful colors. They're made out of vegan leather. They're waterproof, which is nice. And latex free. So when you buy one of their bracelets, they do donate a portion of every sale to a leading mental health organization. You can find more details about them at www.snapbands.com. It is snapbands.com. So once you purchase, you're helping the world snap that stigma out and live a better life with reducing anxiety and everything. So, well, back to you, Mark.
wrote it down because
are you
I have
writing it
two
in?
clients. No, I have two clients that have psychology practices, and one in Marlton and another one out in Pennsylvania. And they're the one in Marlton. She's very holistic. She's always got the positive books, the positive pillows, positive coins, you know, the sayings on the wall. Very into that. So I'll definitely mention that to her. And she has multiple employees. So I will definitely pass that along. I think it's a positive thing. You need to have those things. I remember, I spoke about my grandfather. My grandfather's the reason I'm a financial advisor, because he taught me about a stock when I was 8 years old and I never forgot it. And he used to snap a rubber band on his wrist because he had extreme anxiety.
See?
And he was way ahead of his time. And I knew that. I didn't know that then, but I know it now. And I know kind of before what you said, but yes, I think there's people need a little thing. And, you know, there's those finger touch things. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that, where you just do these.
Or I see people tapping.
Yeah, it's just different ways. And it's also things they teach special forces guys to help recenter them when they're about to go into this horrible battle where it's natural to have anxiety or be all amped up. It's something that I do look into, because I've been doing this since the technology crash in the late 90s, and sadly 2001, and sadly the beginning of the housing crisis, so 06, 08, 09, and then through COVID. And I was self-employed through 08, 09, and through COVID. And I did a lot of hand-holding, and I had to really explain to people that, you know, we have to just kind of go with the flow for a little bit and see where this leads. But it's something that has increased anxiety for people. And as we touched on when we first started talking earlier, there's a lot of anxiety about how to invest, where to invest, what's going to happen. And my main message right now is, having lived in Europe during the Cold War before the Berlin Wall came down, and when it came down, is that if you spend your entire day thinking that the world's going to blow up or there's going to be something done, in the news that's going to set someone off, without getting into any type of detail, you're just not going to enjoy yourself. You're not going to enjoy your life. And you're not, it doesn't matter what you're investing in. It doesn't matter what you choose to do for a living. If you're worried about that stuff, it's going to hold you back, and it's going to cause irreparable harm to your personality and yourself. And maybe I am being a psychologist and should have been, because I do know a lot about my clients and they feel very comfortable talking to me, and I respect that and obviously keep all that to myself. But people have irrational fears, and my job in some ways is to calm those fears, not really do anything, but to really just help reassure them that it can be worse. It can be much worse. Yeah. You know, I always say when the stock market goes down, it's on sale. I like sales. I like to buy expensive clothes when they're on sale. I like looking for trips that are on sale. Call me a little frugal, but no, I like to get most bang for my buck. But that's the way you have to look at it, especially if you're in our age group. I'm 51. We have time, and time is a lot, and a lot can happen in this world. So you have to just bear with it, stay the course. And it's an old saying, but staying the course is most important. You set a goal and you keep going toward that goal. You may hit a roadblock or two. You may hit a detour, but never forget that goal, no matter what it is.
Exactly. And we live day by day. So I plan my goals. Like, it's so funny. I wish I had my old whiteboard, but I would jot down like what my goal was for each day, cross it off when I can reach that goal. It makes me feel good. I can say I had a productive day. You know, this is what
I accomplished.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, I'm going to be focusing on this, this, and this. And then, of course, like, I need to have other goals, because I'm looking again for a job. And I'm like, well, what is it that I want to do? What am I most happy with? And of course, it's podcast, but, you know, I think it'd be fun to do a TV show host kind of thing. And they actually have stuff like that. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to go after that. I think I would be really good at that, you know, entertaining. Been in the industry, event industry, for about 30 years now. So, yeah, it's like, I got this, you know, let's be happy the rest. of my time here.
you have a great personality, and I can see you just totally, you know, wrapping people into what you're talking about and then empowering them to continue on. So yeah, it's really, you're very easy to talk to. It's a pleasure, really.
Thank you.
I do watch some of those podcasts where people are in the same room doing the interviews. I'm sure you've seen the Jason Kelsey, Travis Kelsey podcast.
If you haven't yet,
you should check it out. It'll give you a little taste of Philly, obviously, with Jason. So I love their straightforwardness. They really try their best to be normal guys. Obviously, for his brother dating Taylor Swift, it's so normal, but he's doing his best. But yeah. Again, those type of shows, though, and I see a bunch of others, and I like those. I really do. I think that could be the future. It's fine to not be in the same room, too, and have this wonderful conversation and get to know each other like this. But yeah, occasionally having a place where you have people come in and do a few shows in a week and then put them out over a few months, I like that idea, too.
Over a few months, my thing as a photographer, I'm like, nope, you're going to get this show the same day.
Or that too.
Yeah.
Be like uncut and ready to go. Let's go.
Well, yeah. Bloopers. It makes it fun. It makes it real. I even make my TikTok account real. It's the real Nadine. You know, you're going to see what you see. So if I'm in the hospital and I feel like I'll admit this one. And morphine was not working at the time. But they were saying the same doctor would have to see you because they did the surgery. No other doctor can touch you. And I remember I already had TikTok open, ready to tape. And I'm like, can't touch me. No. Like I just had, you know, it's like I had to have fun with it. You know, you learn a lot when you're going through so many different medical things of what they can and cannot do. And, you know, it's just like, you know, I want people to know, even though I couldn't do the show for a while, I had to take care of me. Health is important to me right away. Get me better to be able to do these shows. I didn't want my fans to give up on me. I think that was, I'm a people pleaser at time, but I had to say, hey guys, just bear with me. I think on Easter I said, bunny with me or something. Like, it's just like, but I want people to know that, hey, I am a fighter. I am a warrior. I'm coming back. I'm doing this. I was sitting at church and the message was like, if God gave you a purpose and goal, which my podcast is, it was a big eye opening. Don't shy away from it. Don't run away from it. And I was like, you know what? I've had a long time for recovery now. I think I can finally sit here and still do it. I may have good days. I may have bad days, but I'm going to power through it. So that's how I look at things. But
I think I told you the story about my mom, and I think that sums up a lot of her attitude as well. She's like, you know, I could have just opened my eyes. I could have claimed disability. I could have given up, but I can't do that. I'm not built that way. And I mean, she made every second count, and it was amazing to watch. And I think back on it with great pride, and occasionally have a bad day. It'll be a year, April 24th. But my stepfather and I are close, and I'm going to go visit him on her birthday in May and support him. And he's got a great extended family that I'm getting to know more and more. And it's just very, it's very important, though, to have that personal ability to keep it going inside your own head. Have fun with it on TikTok, like you said.
Yes.
I have injuries to my back and neck, and I've been getting those treated recently. And I'm so focused on letting the doctor do what they do, I give them too much information. It's like, oh, you hit the nerve point here and I felt it in my lower hip area. And they're like, okay. I'm like, well, I want you to know. And now the doctor like sits down and talks to me. And I'm like, I don't have all that information today, but I'll let you know next time. So I guess people aren't comfortable sharing how they feel physically. And I'm like, well, how can she help me get better if she doesn't know?
I watched a seminar. It wasn't a podcast, but a doctor. And he was actually saying doctors are more able to listen to you when you have it written out. So I have back issues too. So I wrote down all my symptoms and I go, I know it's one thing for you to hear me saying it, but I wrote down what I went through the week. So here, and they go, wow, this really helped. And I was like, in my head, did it? Like, are they just not wanting to hear me talk? You know, I always wonder, do they think I'm being a Karen and I'm full of BS? You know, what is it? Because sometimes when we talk and say, this is how I feel, it just gets like, okay, go somewhere else, go get it checked. You know, it's like, but you're the one who did my surgery. You know, you're supposed to help me get through this.
I 1000% agree with you. And I have noticed myself, doctors that are invested in being doctors. I mean, I'm invested in being a good financial advisor, but also a good friend, a good advisor. I'm very invested in that. And I want to understand what people are trying to tell me. When I go sit with a doctor, and if it's doesn't even look up from their computer or up from their notes at me, I'm out. I want you to put the notes down and focus on me and listen to me. I'm not going to talk to you for 2 hours, but focus on me. And when I find doctors that are like that, I get very excited. And I've been very lucky recently. I went through some very bad doctors who wanted to prescribe medications that ended up causing me to have side effects that I had to overcome. And again, I used a lot of my mother's strength to overcome the side effects, which I was able to. And I'm 100% healthy now and doing great. Obviously, I went to the gym this morning, despite the pouring rain. I still got out there and did it. you really... Doctors today are a rare breed that really want to invest in what their clients or patients, I shouldn't say clients, patients are telling them rather than what the blood work says or what the test results say. Because sometimes the test results and the blood work don't show the truth. It could be a mental thing. It could be something that they're not even thinking about. And that's like all the old original ERs where the doctors are like, so what are you feeling? Maybe it's this. And they have debates on maybe it's that, maybe it's this. I don't really see a lot of that these days, but I did see it when sadly my mother was diagnosed with ALS. I was extremely impressed with Penn Medicine, something I'm sure you're aware of being from New Jersey. They've expanded into New Jersey, the service they provided us and the education about what she had and why she had it blew me away. 2.5 hours, the neurologist sat with us, my stepfather and I and my mother, and explained everything. It was not pleasant, but the bedside manner was Trump. I have been recommending this doctor to everybody and anybody. I have a client who now she just got diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And I told her daughter, if you can get into Penn and see this doctor, please do it. And she immediately said, we just scheduled an appointment with that doctor. That's a coincidence. Good. I'm like, you're going to love it. You can tell I'm all about trying to talk about positives and encouraging people to think positive, because when you think negatively all the time, and I've been guilty of it, I will raise my hand. I have been guilty of getting in funks and in depressions. I don't want to do that anymore. I was there for my mom for 3.5 years. I put my life on hold. I have no regrets. I would have regretted not doing it. And now 2024 is all about doing what she told me to do, getting back out there, both business-wise and personally. And I consider this kind of a personal conversation about both business and my life. It's something that I want to be more friendly and approachable to people than I have been. I don't want people to think that because maybe they perceive I'm very successful or how I'm dressed or whatever. It's like, no, I will spend more time talking to the janitor at a company than I will the CEO. Simply because that person is engaging and wants to talk and isn't like just all over the place. But that is the way that I was raised. I don't see color. I don't see race. I just let people be who they are. And as long as you're not hurting anybody, and believe me, I have my rules, my code. And that's very obvious. You know, children, women, don't hurt anybody. But if you're not hurting someone else and you're not doing physical harm to yourself, I'm going to be there to try to support you. And I'm open to talk to you. And people do talk to me. I have had people share some very dark things with me, but I'm just happy that they feel so comfortable they can share it, because I don't know what they'd do if they couldn't talk to me. I have friends that were special forces and are having friends commit suicide. And I'm getting calls and I'm like, oh, buddy. And I'm just like, just talk. Keep talking. And then I bring up something stupid he did when we were in high school back in Germany, and he starts laughing. So, you know, but I just, I try to make that known to everybody. It's like, I am here, and a lot of us are there for each other. Sadly, we've been going to more funerals at Arlington for friends' dads, but yeah. We show up from all over the country. We just went to one in September. 20 plus of us showed up. And the girl who was, she told me last night, she said, I didn't expect half the people to come. And I just told her, I said, well, you know, your dad was the commander. Your dad did a lot of very, very cool things in his career, things that we didn't know about because they were top secret and we'll never know about. And we also care deeply about you. So when you're going to Arlington and you grew up around the military, the importance of it is beyond a comprehension. So I've been twice now, and it is powerful. It's emotional. But just talking about that camaraderie, and it's like a fellowship being a military brat. We're not like a religion or a community. We're a fellowship because we all live the same life and have the same story. And we do show up for each other. Now, not everybody is stayed in connection. Things happen in normal life. But it's been interesting as we've all gotten older. We've all kind of reconnected. We've started having reunions. We have one in Florida this year because obviously Germany is a little too far to go. And the school also closed when the base closed. But it's just one of those things. You having that base out there and offering people that outlet to, look, you can talk to me. I'll keep it to myself. And I'll do whatever I can for you.
That's really good.
Yeah. I mean, clients too are afraid to like say, oh, hey, I need money. It's like, it's your money. Please, what can I do to help? What do you need me to do? How do you need me to readjust? I'm very, very much empathetic and almost too empathetic, but it's the way I live, and I'm not going to change that.
That's good. That's good. And I love how down to the point you are. So, you know, what I pick up on your energy is like, I am going to tell you my knowledge and, you know, this is a good way to go. I'm going to listen to you, hear your options and what you want out. So I'm going to pay you the biggest compliment right now that is the best quality to have. To talk to somebody and teach them what you do and what you know. I don't believe that you would ever be pushy with somebody, and that's a good thing. So, but you know, just having this conversation with you, those energy vibes that I'm picking up is like, you're a good guy. You definitely know how to help somebody out. So if you were, you know, anybody who's listening to this podcast and they want to know more about how to do their, you know, do the 401k or retirement and stuff like that, how can they find you?
I have a webpage. I'm not Fisher Investments. Let me please make that clear. Mr. Ken Fisher is completely different than me. Our approaches are different, and we have a different colors and everything. My website is Fisher Wealth. MGT, Fisher Wealth Management. My company name is Fisher Financial Management. My website has a lot of educational material. I've got a lot of positive comments about the glossary. As I mentioned, financial literacy is very difficult these days. I made sure that my website had a very easy to read, easy to understand glossary. So you can look up what a stock is, what a retirement plan is, and read it on your own time. And then from there, you can send me a question or connect with me via email, phone numbers on there. And I don't charge to have an initial consultation with people. I don't get too personal with people unless they want to be, but I can't help you if you don't tell me your picture. And I always tell people, and obviously in my job, there is no dumb question you can ask me at all. And you can ask me the same question 100 times and I'm not going to get upset about it because I'm your teacher. I'm your guide through this. And if you're not comfortable and you feel that need to ask me that many times, then I need to rephrase it or we need to figure out a different way to express it. And that's the teacher in me that I learned from my mother, who was a school teacher, and my grandmother, who was a school teacher. So, but I always, I just want to make sure people are confident and comfortable. I don't want people to think that I'm their enemy because I'm not their gatekeeper. I may have their money that I manage, but the whole point is it's theirs. Somebody wants to do something that's going to be negative, I will give them pros and cons. In the end of the day, it's their decision. My job is just to teach them. That's it. And I try to find ways with their own careers. I have a gentleman who just sadly got diagnosed with cancer. He was a tree service guy, and he wanted to take money out of an account that would have been not necessarily the right move at this time. And I just explained to him when he said, oh, well, you're not going to give it to me. And I said, no, I want to rephrase this. I will give it to you. My job is just to tell you the pros and cons. Just like when you used to go to your tree service job and say, if you don't take that tree down, it's going to fall on your house. You don't want to, good luck.
Yeah.
And he understood it. And it just flowed naturally right from there. But it's trying to just find that one little niche thing that I can pick out of their life that I can latch onto that will help them compare what I'm saying and put it in their own words. So it's the teacher in me. And my stepfather always says, you involve yourself in too much, just like your mother. And I'm like, well, she raised me. Sorry.
I'm like, so that's a good thing though. That's a really good thing.
Every now and then I'll hear like, leave it alone. It's like, okay. But I used to try to do the same thing with my mom and it didn't work.
I like to explain in detail, you know, because I know people will have questions, and I've made it a point before we start even a podcast, this is the run through. So, you know, people know what is going to be coming out of my mouth and how it's going to be played out to feel comfortable on the show and stuff. So, which is, I think, nice.
I might throw
the surprise question in there or say something wrong. Like I talked about bloopers. Yes, they happen. We're normal. Hey.
Absolutely. And as I said, we're going to make mistakes. And that's another thing. You know, sometimes I make mistakes. I'm not perfect. And I don't ever want anybody to think I think I'm perfect, because I think that's a horrible way to go about life. I think you need to learn from your mistakes. You need to own them, and you need to be able to own them and do it positively. And people are surprised when you do it. And I've recently said to some people, you know, I know I wasn't, when I was unwell at a time in life, I wasn't myself. I may have not been myself to other people. And I just wanted to say, look, I realize that. I'm sorry. And I hope you can forgive me. I'm back to normal now. And just give me a chance. I want to show you. Doesn't always work, but that's something I've been trying to actively do these last few years. And it's something that makes me feel good. It's a goal. It was one of my goals, was to just make sure the people in my life that I may have done wrong and that I do still care deeply about understand that I recognize I wasn't in the right spot in my life at that time due to a health issue that I didn't fully understand. And it has, you know, again, people have come back and people have said, you know, I admire you for that. And those people and I are getting tighter and tighter. And that's what I only hope for.
A handful
of good people in your life is all you need. And
exactly.
I'm fortunate. I have a friend from Germany. We've been friends 40 years this year. You know, he's been here. I've been there. You know, we visit each other. COVID put a stop in that, but I try to go once a year. We bonded over Bruce Springsteen, born in the USA, you know, 1986.
That's
cool.
It was
really easy to bond over. You know, the Germans love Born in the USA, even though it's an anti-war song, but they still love it. It's a wonderful friendship. And it's where I really, and he says the same thing. He says, I'm the most analytical person of myself that he knows, and he appreciates all my advice. And I appreciate just him, his presence and his understanding of who I am, having watched me grow up, and we watched each other grow up. And I know his children, who are, his daughter's now 20, and I carried her as a baby when I was visiting. My God, old. But you know,
we're getting older. I know my daughter's 22 and I'm like, what happened? I remember as a little girl and now she's having a little girl. And I'm like, well, the good thing about being a Gigi is, you know, baby goes home with mom. You know, it's like I can spoil my granddaughter now. So
that's the best part. That's what my stepdad is doing now. Honestly, he was just in Florida visiting his granddaughter. He has four great grandchildren now. He was visiting his two newest great grandsons. He's loving it. And I'm encouraging him to do it left and right. Because, you know, as I said, he took care of my mom for 3 years. He didn't leave the house unless I was there. And, you know, his commitment to her is on a whole other level. And I can't not say that about him on any of these podcasts I've been on. I've been definitely mentioning that. to see a man give up that much of himself and to just put his whole person aside, even when he almost got unwell because of it. And I just, my admiration for him is something I can't put into words right now. It's too emotional. I'm looking forward to seeing him, sadly, on her birthday, but we're going to make it a celebration. Let me put something out on Facebook as a tribute. And I'll have to look you up so maybe you can see it. I think you might like it. But it's all about that right now. It's just, he feels, we're both trying to restart our lives and we're trying to support each other. And that's really, it's working.
Good, good, good. I'm glad to hear that. So, yeah, so
the last couple. Talking. I don't want to hold you up. I know you have a busy day.
I'm gonna wrap it up a little bit.
It's like, just tell me to stop talking. Just say time out. Just shut up.
I know. I never tell anybody to shut up.
You can always just say time. Like I said, it's the Jersey thing. You know, we have the Eagles thing in common. Yeah,
I know. So that's
just
cool.
Like, whoa, whoa, calm down. Whoa. That's what we do here, right?
I am a football mom too, so I have to like, okay, pause. You know, I just tell you. At that age, like my son's 11, so those boys out there, and we had one girl on the team. So, but they
I think that
are
is
like,
awesome. By the way, I think that is awesome. I love hearing those stories. I love watching the women's NCAA these last 2 years. I don't even know anything about the men's. I think they play harder. They seem to be more involved. They play with passion that I haven't seen since the 80s in men's basketball, pros especially. Oh, it's so much fun. I mean, clearly I enjoyed the Caitlin Clark story, but I just enjoyed all of the teams and all of the stories. And these girls are getting bloody and bruised and they're hitting the floor and they're banging bodies. And I'm like, this is good. They destroy me at 51, even maybe at 20, they destroy me, but it would be fun to try because the competition. Competition is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. When he's not like at practice, he'll play with the kids he goes to school with. But I got home the other day and he is standing at the door, but his nose and his mouth was all blood dripping. And I'm like, dude, what happened? He goes, I did it to myself. I go, what? And he goes, when I caught the ball, it came back and smacked me in the face. And I go, well, that's a lot of blood. I was like, I wasn't expecting to see that. And I looked at the concrete and I was like, oh boy. I go, okay, single mom raising a boy, I got this. This is cool. Let's get you washed up. And, you know, it's like, we got somewhere to be and you got to, you know, it's just making sure it would stop
I'm guilty of that. Going out, riding my bike, hitting a jump, no helmet, back in the 80s and showing up at the door, my arm bleeding, finger bent in the way it shouldn't be and going, I got a problem here. Okay, let's just take care of that.
Exactly.
You just go. And again, I totally understand. And imagine taking your son. He's 11. That's when my mother took me to Germany in the 80s with no cell service, no TV. And I still managed to have a normal, well, not quite normal, I would say, but a great childhood. Skiing, playing soccer with the Germans, playing normal basketball on base with the GIs, playing with guys that are only 2 years older than me, but serving the United States military. Oh, it was so much fun. I mean, 6 hours a day on the weekend, that was always had something to do that was fun, athletic, getting out there, never sitting at home behind a screen. And, you know, just I'm thrilled to hear that your son was out there and that he's tough enough to come back and say, Mom, my fault. Help me get cleaned up here. You know, he didn't come back on his knees crying, saying, oh, Mommy, I didn't have a tiny scratch. No, he had clearly hurt himself, but was like, I can only blame myself. And that's what I say about my skiing injuries. Nobody pushed me off the cliffs I jumped off of. I'm just like, I did it because it was fun.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, he has a great football coach and he instills that into the team members. It's like you learn and, you know, they did do classes for the boys, you know, to go to for like etiquette, learn how to do a tie, how to eat right and business, even to invest money if they wanted to be a football player. Yeah, great. They're teaching at a young age. So, but yes, unfortunately, I got to wrap this up. So really quick, I want to say thank you for being on the show. I also wanted to thank all our other sponsors that keep hope alive. So as I mentioned, we had lifeonrecord.com, your interactive guest book. So for any event, they can pick up, leave you a message, congratulate you, and they'll either burn it on a 12-inch vinyl record or they will put it on a keepsake speaker. So check them out at lifeonrecord.com. Our other one was Snap Bands. As you can see, the colorful ones, hope and faith. And my sweater is getting in the way. So visit their website at www.snapbands.com. It's spelled SnapBandz.com. Our next one is Ogden Ventures, LLC. Mr. Marcus Ogden, former football player. He's now a best-selling author and runs his own podcast. Check him out at www, and I'm going to spell this out. Marcus is MarQues, and then last name Ogden, OGDEN.com. Our next one is Bridal Shows, Inc. So if you are planning an event in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, which is Texas, but we get everybody from all the United States. So come in down and look at the trade show. You can meet a bunch of vendors, watch a fashion show, see what they're offering, get those prices, and possibly book them and everything. You got to remember, us vendors, we travel too. So our next one is Miles and Smiles Events, Miss Deborah Rose at www.milesandsmilesevents.com. Her background is she's an investigator, but at her events, she does handwriting analysis and lipstick readings and is 100% accurate. Our next one is Bryce Harney, www.brycemagic.com. Probably saw him on TV last year on a few stations, but he is a magician and a mind mentalist reader. He does the big corporate events and even church events too. I tell everybody, hey, just quickly go to YouTube, type in Bryce Harney Magic, and I'll pull it up, or go to the website that I just announced. Richmond Punch.net is our next one. He graduated from the Juilliards. He is a violinist for over 30 years in the industry. He is out on tour right now. He goes kind of in between Georgia and the Dallas area. I know he's coming back for Dallas and has his show dates scheduled, but he's performed in front of a million people before, had two spots on Lifetime shows to play the violin, and he does a good job. Our last one is TK Hair Salon, located Plano, Texas. So if you're coming to Texas, you got to visit me too. But come and get your hair done. Yeah, I got to go get my grays out. I noted that this morning. But men, women, children, they do the haircuts. They do styling, color. They'll do facial, everything. So check them out at tkhairsalon.com. Now, remember, if you have any questions for Mark or myself, you can call 833-780-HOPE, which is 4673, I believe, and leave us a message. I'll pass it on to Mark. I'll make him answer those questions too, because I'm confident in
that. And I will.
Good. So, but remember, wherever you guys find your podcast, you can find us. And our website is www.keephopealivepodcast.com. But once again, thank you so much, Mark, for sharing your story and your journey and what you've been through and how you do your business. That's amazing. So I really
appreciate
the
opportunity. Yeah, yes. I appreciate it. And I'm glad we had a great vibe. And just thank you so much. It was very much a joy. I'm glad that we made it work. And again, you're doing great. Keep doing what you're doing. And I love what your son's football coach is doing, teaching them life lessons. Thrilled to hear about that. Absolutely thrilled.
Yes.
Please let the coach know. You talk to a military brat who's thrilled to know that there's still coaches out there that want to teach life lessons to their kids.
Yes. And I'm hoping I can bring him on. He's helped me many a times, but I think it's cool because he never addresses me by my first name. He calls me Mom. Like, Mom is so football related. It's like, Mom, this is your son. Your son does good. You are Mom.
So sounds like a great human being. I'm glad that you found someone like that for your son, and you know, all the best to him, and congratulations, Gigi. I'm hoping for all positive outcomes, and I will look up your TikTok page so that I can see those comments of yours.
All social media links are going to be listed on that website too. So yeah, definitely. But yeah, it was awesome to talk to you, and you know, it was fun getting to know you, getting to know your client and everything.
So, in a way, I got to end it like that. I know a few of your goals and things of that nature. So if you ever have any questions, I don't charge. Free advice, first time around. Happy to try to guide you in the right direction, or at least let you know you're doing things right and you're doing the best you can. That's all we can do. Yeah. At the very end of the day, do the best we can.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So yeah, and remember that, guys, reach out to him. He's going to be able to talk to you just like how you talk to me and, you know, get these questions answered for you guys. So, well, thank you. And thank you to everybody who watched this episode. Until our next one, love and light. Bye-bye.